This First Timothy series is kind of interesting. Somebody asked me, why do you think Paul, how do you say the question? Why do you think Paul wrote to Timothy to say, to tell him why we ought to behave? And I just said, because they were doing stuff wrong. They weren't being a godly church. And sometimes it's good to have a reminder. And I think that's why this is in here. And that's why it's good for us. We have some new Christians. We have some old Christians. I don't mean elderly. I mean, I've been a Christian a while, you know. And some of them are kind of elderly, which make good examples for us. So, and we have some people that are thinking about it. And if you want to be part of a church, you have to know how to act, especially in light of our political atmosphere in this country and just the hatred of the church. I mean, get ready, church. If you don't like to be called a bigot, hateful, it's coming. It's already happening, you know. Be ready for that. You know what? If you're getting called that, awesome. Because we're doing something right. We're making a stand. And I think the church is going to have to do that more. And that's where, like, books like 1 Timothy, it comes into importance. We have to know how to behave. We have to know about our roles of men and women, and we have to know what false teaching is, and we have to know what prayer is and how we're supposed to pray. And today we have to know that even though we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and everybody supposedly has a voice and we have all this freedom, when it comes to the church and its leadership, not everybody gets a voice. It's not a democracy. It's a God-centered worship. And we have to understand that the God appoints leaders and calls leaders, and those leaders call leaders, and the congregation kind of confirms that off and on. We see that throughout Scripture. But that's why that's important, because it opens us up to serve better if we know and we trust who's leading. And today, I just kind of want to get into that a little bit. In 1 Timothy 3, we're going to do 13 verses. I think we have time to finish by midnight today. I know we've been kind of going two or three verses at a time. But really, we know a lot of this stuff, but I just want to make sure that you know what it means to be an elder and what it means to be a deacon. And not only that, I might take it an extra step of what it means to follow. Because really, sometimes in this independent country, especially independent churches, we don't know what it means to follow. Because we want it our way, right away, right now, and then we go get a right. So, I just want to get into the text, and then let's get in and bust this out in a few hours. So, you can laugh. That's funny sometimes. You can be laughing with me or at me or just fear. The saying is trustworthy and true. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, which is also translated elder, translated pastor, shepherd, he desires a noble task, and I want to add to that a little bit of crazy task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Verse 8. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Wow. Who wants to do that job? Okay, don't raise your hand all at once. I just want to go through a few things about this. The Bible identifies two primary leadership roles in the church. You have the office of elder, which is overseer, which is pastor, shepherd, all of that. And also deacons. Now, if you're going to take any notes today, this is what you want to write down. Elders are the servant leaders of the church. They lead the church. Deacons are leading servants. See how I did what I did there? I switched them around. You have servant leaders and you have leaders who are serving. I like to look at it this way also. Elders are in charge of overseeing the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church is what happens inside the walls of the church. So everything that we're doing, that's what deacons do. And elders oversee. Okay? But elders also are in charge, ready for this? The mission of the church. That is what happens outside the walls of the church. Setting the course, steering the ship, setting the vision, things like that. Bam, outside. Then you have the deacons, which I said already, are in charge of the ministry of the church. They're overseen by the elders, so they have someone to talk to, someone to hold them accountable. Man, working together, different roles, different activities. Why? To serve and honor Christ. See, church leadership is designed by God for a couple reasons. One, to display His glory. Let me tell you, when the church leadership is rocking and rolling together and everything's going great, God is glorified. God is glorified. I mean, it's His system. He put together. It's hard for us to understand because sometimes it seems a little simple and a little hard because we bring in, of course, our truckloads of baggage from the secular world and we try to put it all together, you know? But it's really simple and it displays His glory. It's an act of worship. You know, we worship God by serving Him well. And the second one is to be dependent on His gospel. Man, if you put your faith in the political system, your brain is going to explode. It doesn't make sense. I've been trying to figure out the Electoral College forever. You know, and June has too. You know, and it's like, I don't understand this totally and why it works that way, but I guess it does. We need to be dependent on the gospel. This is our standard of truth. And even though America was founded on Christian principles, the Christian way, it has not stayed the course. It has gotten off somewhere, and that's all right. If you don't believe that or not, you want to argue with me that later, that's okay. But we do serve a God that is still the King. And for some reason, He puts people in power that we don't understand why He does that. But in the end, we're going to find out someday. And the Bible says, for His glory, but sometimes I look at our presidents and our politicians and I go, how are they glorifying God? You know, maybe it'll be in His wrath. I don't know. But I do know that God is in control and we have to be dependent on this. That's why you hear pastors and elders talk about leadership all the time. Talk about vision all the time. Talk about serving all the time because those are what is contrary to the world. It contradicts what the world says to do. The world says do it yourself. The gospel says trust in God. It's already done. So there's four responsibilities of an elder. The first one is to lead under the authority of Christ. Their boss is Jesus. He is the head of the church. So the elders are accountable and leading under the authority of Christ and His scripture. His word, they are appointed by the Spirit of God. You know, and it's always weird how different pastors, different elders, overseers have been called into that sort of ministry. Some people desire it, they like it. They prayed about it. That's what they want to do. I went to Bible college with a few older men that were non-traditional students, quit their jobs or whatever, some to be pastors, and some just wanted to not work as much in the secular world so they could be a better elder at their church. So they went to Bible college. That's crazy, ain't it? No, it's not when you look at the gospel. Because the gospel calls us out of different areas and puts us into different areas of service and ministry within themselves. You know, I was called into ministry. I remember exactly where I was sitting, who I was sitting next to, and it made sense. The light bulb went on. I'd already been a Christian. It's time for me to go into ministry. Life made sense. I had a goal. You know, I was called into ministry. And some people, like the Apostle Paul, who was writing this, had to get smacked around, cast down, made blind, and next thing you know, he is one of the greatest apostles out there. God had to stop him. So, it depends on how stubborn you are, maybe, or how set in your ways you are, but God will use you. God will use you, and God will call you and appoint you. The church belongs to Christ, and the elders are accountable, like I said, to the Son of God. Number two, one of their responsibilities is to care for the body of Christ. They do that in two ways. As we've seen in 1 Timothy so far, to protect the flock. Shepherds protect the flock from wolves. Carry these big sticks, and sometimes they have to smack some people around. Why? Because they're teaching false doctrine. They're teaching the wrong thing. It's going to pull people away, and they're going to do what? They're going to fall into the snare of the devil, the trap of the devil, and they're going to get pulled away. Elders, especially our elders, think about that and pray about that a lot. Make sure we're teaching the right stuff. And it starts with them sitting in a room studying. And let me tell you, our elders study. Our elders think. I am constantly sending them articles, and I'm constantly asking them questions about it. Some are how to lead better. Some of us is, if we keep leading this direction, the church is going to look like this. You know, we have to care and protect the flock. The second thing, elders nurture the flock. They're praying for them, talking to them, encouraging them, you know. And sometimes it's like being a father, you know, and with a bunch of kids. And you got to talk. Spiritual children. Nurture them just like you would a son or a daughter. Number three, the third responsibility is teach the word of Christ. They have to know the word extensively. That means they got to spend time reading it, studying it, asking questions, acting on it, applying it, living it. Why? Let me tell you why. So they can teach well. They can teach Sunday school well. They can lead well. If they need to preach or do a communion meditation, they do it well, and they do it with knowledge. Because they also need to communicate it well. You can teach it, but we've all had those teachers where you just want to close your eyes and fall asleep. Hopefully I don't preach like that. Yeah, I have to get a little excited sometime. But they communicate it well. I like the word contextualize. We live in a certain context, in a certain culture. And you have to speak the word, and this word does not change. But the method in which we teach it changes. We have video screens, PowerPoint presentations, videos. What, you know, in the past, it used to be, I had a teacher that used felt. You know, felt stories. Yeah, felt board. There you go. She's rocking it back there. You know, it's one of those things where, why? Because it's effective to get the story out. Jesus used parables to explain biblical principles. We all do that. I mean, every pastor does that. Every elder should do that too. You know? Number four, an elder should model the character of Christ. So, modeling the character of Christ, there's that scary thing. They're just men. They're going to mess up. Yes. But they know what the perfect is, what the holy is. So the question is this. What would happen if the church imitates its leader? I got a couple areas for them to imitate. in his personal life? Is this elder self-controlled? Is he wise? Is he peaceable? Is he gentle? Is he a sacrificial giver? Is he humble? Is he patient? Is he honest? Is he disciplined? You know, his personal life matters to the way he's going to lead the church. You know, what he does when he's all alone in the dark matters to how he leads. I always say that because you really are who you are when you're at home alone in the dark. The things you think about, the things that you do, that's who you really are inside. You know? What does he think about? What does he think about the money that he earns? What does he think about? Will he clean the toilets as well as Sunday school class? You know? How does he put up with people? Is he patient with them? Is he short with them? Is he disciplined? How about in his family life? You imitated our elders in their family life. Is he an elder in his home? Another way to say that, does he pastor his family well? Does he lead well? Does he talk to his wife about biblical issues? Me and Nicole were having a conversation. We went on a little road trip this weekend, and we were listening to a podcast, and the word apostasy came up. And I said to my wife, she was kind of looking funny, I go, do you know what an apostasy is? She goes, no. And I said, it's a large body of water with noodles in it. That's not what it is at all. It was talking about the apostasy of Israel when they left the God of Israel for idolatry. They left their faith. You know, the apostasy. You know, do the elders, you see them passing their families well. If he's single, yes, you can be single and be an elder. You want to argue with me that later? That's fine. You want to be that legalistic? It's saying in a world that believed in multiple wives and multiple relationships, you don't choose those guys to be your leaders because that affects the way they view God. You have more than one wife, you're going to have more than one God. You know? If he is single, is he self-controlled? Is he following the Bible? No, is he pure if he's single? What does he do at home alone in the dark? You know, if he is married, is he completely committed to his wife? If he has children, do they honor him? I don't mean when he's just around. How do the parents or the kids talk about their dad when he's not around? How do they behave? How about in his social life, or if he's a business owner, or his business life? Is he kind? Is he hospitable? Here's one. Is he a friend of strangers? Does he help people who need help? You know, does he show favoritism? Does he have a blameless reputation? You know, I worked with a guy, my first church I was at, let me tell you, he was a landlord, and they called him a slumlord because he didn't take care of his stuff. And he was a deacon at the church, and he wanted to be an elder. And the elders had to have a talk with him. You're not blameless in your reputation. People on the outside of the church don't like you, and that points to the way they look at God. How about in his spiritual life? Which I think when we're looking at elders and pastors to come to church, you're looking more at their spiritual life. It is an aspect, but it's not the whole ball of wax, if you will. Is he making disciples of all nations? Following the Great Commission? Is he teaching? Is he preaching well? Is he baptizing? Does he love the Word of God? I mean, I even put that in capital letters. Does he love Jesus? The Word. God's voice. Is he a man of prayer? Could you go to him and say, will you pray for me? And he'll do it without question? Is he holy? You know, which sometimes we get that word holy messed up. You know, it's the process of becoming holy. That's our entire Christian life. The big church word is sanctification.
It's where you and the Holy Spirit come together and you work and you try to become more Christ-like. I say, is an elder in that process? So let me tell you, nobody's going to be holy like Jesus is holy. But you can take those steps in order to learn. You can look at their life 10 years ago. Are they the same person today as they were 10 years ago? Because if you're not being transformed daily by the gospel, you're going to have some issues leading a church with people being transformed daily. Because people won't be transformed if the leaders haven't been transformed. I know it. I've seen it. And is he gracious? Does he forgive well? Does he love people well? You know? And if you look at most of those things, you can use every one of those and look at Jesus. You can look at the Father. They're setting the example for us. And being an elder is a serious task. Being an elder is a serious calling. I want to say that this church is lucky. We have some good guys that sometimes doubt themselves, but they keep moving forward. You know, it's a joy to go to elders' meetings. I think all of us guys enjoy each other, which is good for you to know. We read together. We study together. We pray together. We laugh together. Most of us are frustrated together about stuff. And we're moving in a direction together. It was a unified leadership that cast the vision. Love God, love others, serve your city. It was unified. That is a good thing. Pray for your elders. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Maybe I want to look at what that means to be an elder. I say, talk to one of the guys. Don't wait for someone to come nominate you. If the Spirit is telling you, you're called to be a leader, you know, talk to one of us. We've probably already noticed it anyway. Then we talked about deacons. And there's three responsibilities of the deacons. Meets needs according to the word. They read their Bible, they apply it, and they minister to people. They minister to people. And these needs arise out of specific circumstances. As you're going through the book of Acts, you see that these widows weren't getting fed. So what do the apostles do? They get together and they tell the men to appoint people. They have to look a certain way. Not physically, but spiritually, social life, everything we went through with the elders. Bring those names back to us and let us appoint them to take care of this specific circumstance. Sometimes in the American culture, we've caught up with this whole board system, CEO system, which is great, but I don't know if it's necessarily biblical. If you look at the elders are the leaders of the church, setting the course, doing things, then you have deacons, and the word deacon, deaconos, if I can use my Greek a little bit, it's easy to say, so, means servant. It means to serve. So, we're all, in essence, deacons. You know? But when it comes down to it, some of us serve better than others. And those, in our church, we appoint people to be these leaders, and we have a few. And you know what? We should look to them when we're serving to be like them. You know? They also need to be, in these meeting needs, accountable for specific commands. What do I mean? Sometimes an elder is going to come to them and say, you need to do this. You need to do this. I know it's not a fun job. I will help you. But we have to. Whether it's mowing the grass, whether it's, you know, just one time we packed up a bunch of wood and we took it up to a reservation. There's stuff that has to be done. Or someone's house needs to be done. Has to be done. Someone's house needs roofed. You know, maybe an elderly person in our church can't afford. Let's just go do it in church. You know, you might get called upon to do that. The second responsibility of a deacon is to support the ministry of the word. What do I mean? Well, what happens inside the church is the ministry. Us serving together, doing family well together, doing church together, worshiping, whatnot, along that. They support that. They're in favor of it. They go together, and if they don't like something, instead of causing issues, they talk to the elders about it. Because I guarantee 99% of the time it's a communication error. They heard something wrong or whatever, and they got off course a little bit. See, deacons serve the elders so the elders can lead better. Now, I'm not saying, elders, you do this or do that or get me a Coke or something. It doesn't work like that. But you're working together. You know, the deacons are doing jobs, like I said, inside the church building or inside the walls of the church to minister, to serve well, to meet the needs, so the elders can do what? I think the apostle said, so we're not waiting on tables. We're committing ourselves to ministry of the word and to prayer. Also, I think in God's great wisdom, it's so that certain guys don't burn out. There's not too much put on one person's plate. Their third responsibility is to be unified, to unify the body around the word. You know, the elders are pushing us to do new things. The deacons are alongside, encouraging us to do those things. But we're unified around one goal. It starts with the man, the person, and the work of Jesus Christ, and the words that he gave us, love God, love others, serve the city. We come together and we work together, without grumbling, without gossiping. Why? So the world, get this, the world may see the glory of Jesus. Our world needs to see that. And the stuff that's going on, there's a lot of churches that are taking a back seat to stuff. We have to show the glory and the honor of God. And it starts with our leadership. So there's four qualifications of a deacon also. First one is a mission mindset. When I mean mission, I really mean missional. They're about Jesus. They're about the Great Commission. They're about loving people. Some of the best deacons I've ever gotten to know, I got to church early. I love getting to church early on Sunday mornings. You know, now it goes back to my first ministry. There were two deacons, well, one deacon and one elder. They would get to the church early in the morning. It was funny to make sure the toilets were all clean. That's what you do. And to make coffee for all the Sunday school. And then, but really, it was to sit and have coffee with each other. And I would go and I would sit with those guys, and they would actually pray for people in the church. They had their lists, and they had visitors on there and things, and they prayed for those people. You know? Great people. You know, and they had the idea that they wanted people to come to know Jesus. So they prayed for it. They met and they talked about it. We need deacons like that. The second one is Christ-like character. Do they look like Christ? When you learn that they're a deacon, do you go, oh yeah, I can see that? Or do you go, no. Are you kidding me? I'm going to church somewhere else. You know? Here's some questions about that. Is this person honorable? Is this person genuine? No, and when you talk to them, there's no two tongues, if you will, or no split tongue. Or even if they say it, they're living it or trying to live it. You know? My generation, the X generation, if you will, we like authenticity. When I look at a leader, if they're not authentic in the way they're leading, pretty much not being a hypocrite, I'm going to follow that person. But if they are being a hypocrite, my respect level drops. That's just, I don't know if that's how God wired me. That also affects me. You see the same guy on Sunday morning that you see on Monday morning. You know, probably have a little bit more coffee in me when you come Monday morning. But it's the same guy. You know, is this person self-controlled? Is this person a sacrificial giver? You know, why does that matter? You know, the elders have to give sacrificially. You know what that means? That the deacons have to give sacrificially? It means you give until it hurts. And then you give a little bit more. That's how you know you're doing right. As leaders. It's setting the example for the rest of the church. Man, if leaders aren't giving, if leaders aren't tithing, why should anybody else? True? Is this person devoted to the Word of God? Still talking about deacons. No? Do they love Jesus? Do they love their Bible? Is this person faithful? Not only to the gospel, but is this person to show up on time? You know? Do they show up on time? Do they do a good job? You know, when I was in youth ministry and we're going somewhere, I always had a couple deacons that went along, just as youth sponsors, that's just their position in the church. If we stayed in a church, they made sure the church looked better than it was when we got there. You would sleep and get a bunch of junior high girls and junior high boys around. You're going to need a couple vacuum cleaners when you're done. But they vacuumed. They cleaned it up. That was just their attitude. You know, is this person blameless? Is this person honoring Christ? You know, the home life's really important. If you're one of those people that beat your dog and beat your wife, chances are, you're not going to make a good deacon. I'm just saying, that's something you're probably not aspiring to. For some reason, I know I said 4 qualifications, but I only have 2. So, I'm going to go with that. Let me tell you something. Just because you're a deacon, doesn't mean you're going to be an elder. Just because you've made it to that office, unless you aspire. I know a lot of guys that become deacons, but they don't have the calling for the position of elder. Either spiritually, visionally, whatever, they're happy to be deacon. I want to say something about that. That's okay. You serve God where God put you. There's a lot of guys that I went to college with that went to be pastors, and you know what? They're not pastors. Why? Because God didn't call me to be a pastor. It's interesting. I think probably 25% of my graduating class is still in ministry. Some reasons is ministry's hard. But if you're not called to it, it's a little bit easier to quit. The bottom line today, church. The church appoints, here we go, and follows servant leaders who are wholeheartedly committed to accomplishing the mission of Christ. The church points and then follows. Follows. We have a hard time following. Let me tell you something. The sheep follow the shepherds. It's the way it works. Because the shepherd cares for, protects, loves, nurtures, you name it, the sheep. Now I can understand if the shepherds aren't doing their jobs. Sheep are going to do whatever they want. The Bible says, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. It's found in Proverbs. You know what that means? That's big Bible language for people are going to do whatever they want if they don't have one single goal. They take their eyes off of Christ, off of the vision for the world that Christ has, they're going to do whatever they want. Let me tell you something. A lot of sheep get swallowed by wolves, run off cliffs, fall into a hole, and just plain get lost. The shepherds aren't doing their jobs. We have to appoint and we have to follow the leaders that God has called. Second bottom line, I have three bottom lines. See, you have one bottom line and you underline it. The church affirms and honors leading servants, as the deacons, who use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. So first we have the church who appoints and follows elders. We have a church that affirms and honors deacons who use their gifts to build up the body of Christ. The church is compromised of ministers. All of us, all of the leaders, are ministers who multiply the gospel throughout the world. The Great Commission, Acts 1:8, to be witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the world. If we're doing well here, the ministry of the word is going to be doing well on the other side of the world. I believe that. I've seen that. But if we're not doing well here, and we cease to exist because we're not either following well, or we're not unified, or the leadership is poor, or the sheep are poor, you know what happens? The ministry on the other side of the world is not going to do well. Church, we have to do what the Bible says. Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, it looks like this. Church in Ephesus needs to look like this. Church, the church in Morningside needs to look like this. It needs to look like this. That's why church membership is important. You say, I want to be one of your sheep. I'm tired of doing it my way. I see the Bible being preached. I see the Bible being used. I want to be a part of that. How can I serve? Best thing is, how can I serve alongside you? Those are good questions to have, church. You know, I've had people talk to me about membership. I've had some people talk to me this week about membership. Probably saw it in the midweek news. They're not here today for family stuff going on. But Robbie and Jess Sauter, the young couple that's been coming, they join the church. They believe in Jesus. They love Jesus. They want to serve while they're here attending school. This is their church home. They love it. They love the way they're treated. They love the things that they're hearing. And they want to celebrate that. Other people have done that too. If you're looking for a church home, you know, consider us. Come talk to me. Let's discuss what that looks like. You know, as we serve the world together. Just because God gives different roles to different people doesn't mean that they're better than anybody else. It just means that that's who you follow. And also, I love this part, who you hold accountable. You could be able to question them. Kelly, why are you doing this? Why do you think the church should go this direction? Why? I love questions like that. Because that's what I'm about. I want to tell you. And if you're asking, you want to know because the Holy Spirit's tugging at your heart. How does a church behave? A church behaves with godly leaders. Following godly leaders. Honoring godly leaders. Why? To accomplish the ministry of the gospel. To glorify God. I don't know where you're at today. If you want to join today, I invite you to come forward at our next song. You want to give your life to Christ because you want to behave in this way, I say, come forward, let's talk. Right now, I just want to pray for us, and then we're going to sing. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for these lists here in the third chapter. I just thank you for that and just the perfection that we can see, and sometimes we look at ourselves and we look at our leaders and go, are they really like that? Are they striving to be like that? Or are they just pulling the wool over our eyes? Father, I just pray for our elders right now that they they stand firm and they stand strong as they lead us. I pray for our deacons, Father, that they stand strong and they stand as they serve us, Father, and they just serve you, both groups of men. Father, I just ask you to use them. And Father, for the congregation, Father, to follow well, so we can come together unified as a family of God, serving your great commandment and serving your great commission, which is to love you first and to worship you with everything, and to love those around us, starting inside this building and then going outside, Father, and then just serving this world.